Night, sister. Thank you so much, Sister Brenda, for hosting. Let's go to God in prayer. Most righteous and heavenly Father, you are the great and awesome God. Father, as I come before you tonight, Lord, I just want to give you thanks for this opportunity to serve in your kingdom. Father, I pray that you forgive me, God, of anything that I've committed, knowingly and unknowingly. And I pray, dear Lord, that you continue to be with us as a team, Lord, as we work to advance your ministry. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for Sister Brenda hosting us tonight. Thank you so much, Lord, for the message that will be preached. And I pray, dear Lord, that you help us as sisters to have our hearts open wide so that we can receive the blessings that you have in store for us. Father God, I thank you so much, Lord, for just the memorial service we had tonight for Sister Della. And I pray, dear Lord, that you be with all those who are mourning the loss of a loved one. And I pray that you strengthen them at this time, Lord, and help them, God, to be able to come to terms with what has happened, and that you strengthen them during this time of bereavement. Father God, through the rest of the program tonight, pray that everything that we do and say will be to your honor and glory, and it's to your son's precious and wonderful name that I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Elizabeth, for going to the throne of grace for us. We appreciate it very much. At this time, we will have our welcome team salute Sister Marie Mary Eicher.
Good evening, sisters. Sister Della, are you able to hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, sisters. Thank you, Sister Della. Sorry, not Sister. Thank you, Sister Brenda, sir. Thank you, Sister Brenda, for hosting. I will be doing the welcome team salute at this time. The Lady Prayer Warriors welcome team salutes you tonight. Our team is headed by Sister Vivian Mills. Our team consists of approximately 25 members, and these 25 members, it includes our admins and our admin assistant. As the welcome team, we can be thought of as the hospitality team because we are the first point of contact for our new sisters, and our main aim as the welcome team is to ensure that all new sisters are warmly welcomed into LPW, and to also ensure that your entrance as a new sister to LPW is memorable and, of course, unforgettable. Our role, we play a very essential role. Our role is to walk new sisters through the process of becoming an LPW member, or sisters who are interested. Our role is to walk them through the process of becoming an LPW member, and also to help our new sisters to navigate our website and to point them to the many teams that exist within the group. We have several different teams that we inform our new sisters about. Now, our current and very, very important focus is our upcoming 24-hour prayerathon, where we host prayers for 24 hours, a prayer hotline for 24 hours. And we invite all sisters to call in to our 24-hour prayerathon, which will be held on September 17, 2022. This is a life-changing event, so we invite all sisters to be a part of it. The welcome team is also responsible for new members' orientation and the birthday, anniversary, warrior and fire We See You celebration that is held on the last Tuesday of every month. Lastly, we invite you to join the welcome team. We meet twice per month on every other Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern by Zoom. Our meeting ID is 893-3780-9059, and our password is 496-315. Please reach out to our team leader, Sister Vivian Mills, or the Welcome Team Task Force, or just any member of the Welcome Team, if you have any concerns. All right? So again, thank you.
Thank you, Sister Maria, for that beautiful welcome team salute. At this time, we have scripture by Sister Lisa McIntosh.
Good evening, sisters. I will be reading from you the scripture for tonight, which is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And I will be reading the NIV version. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who was rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers and doers of his holy and divine word.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Lisa. Boldly reading God's word. Uh-huh. Hello? Okay. We will have a song of praise by Sister Lottie Holcomb.
Good evening, sisters. I will be singing God Has Smiled on Me. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. God has smiled on me. He's been so good to me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Don't you know that God has smiled on me? He has set me free. God has smiled on me. He's been so good to me. Trials dark on every hand, troubles in my way, but hold to God's unchanging hand. He'll make a brighter day. Don't you know that God has smiled on me? He has set me free. God has smiled on me. He's been so good to me. The world may turn its back on me, may scandalize my name, but when I'm low, to the ground. He picks me up again. And I'm so glad that God has smiled on me. He has set me free. God has smiled on me. He's been real good to me. Thank you, sister.
Thank you, Sister Lottie. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. That's one of my favorite old songs. That's a perfect song at this time. I was singing along with you, Sister Lottie. Okay, at this time we're going to have our speaker. Introduction to our speaker will be given by Sister Rosalind Boddy.
Good evening, sisters. Warrior Cheryl D. Anderson is a Christian who strives to shine her light daily by sharing God in some way or another. She knows the importance of allowing the fruits of the Spirit to grow us to be the Christians that God wants us to be. She is one who knows that God is the author and finisher of our faith. She knows that baptism is essential. She believes in walking by faith and not by sight. She believes in putting on the whole armor of God. Cheryl believes in loving her neighbors as herself to please God Almighty. She believes that benevolence ministries are commanded and extremely essential. She knows that the gifts that God has given us should be used in the furtherance of His kingdom. She knows that we are adopted children of God and should live accordingly. She believes in no cross, no crown. Ultimately, she knows that our lives are not about us and everything is all about God. She loves mankind deeply. She loves the Lady Prayer Warriors of the Church of Christ. She is a member of several teams. They are the Welcome Team, Health Team, Life Streams and Happenings Team, the Every Sister Accounted For Mentoring Team, one of the leaders of the LPW Crisis Hotline Team. I present to some and introduce to others Sister Cheryl D. Anderson.
Good evening and good night, sisters. I just want to say it's a blessing to be on our Friday night Bible series. We're glad to have our LPW family here, and we're glad to have our honored guests. We just want you to know we love you and we appreciate you for being here at this time. We also, once again, would like to invite you every Friday night to our Friday night Bible series, same number and same code, as well as every Thursday night we have Thursday night prayer call. We'd like for you to call in and join us. Share your prayer requests, and then listen in to others as they ask for prayers as well. Tonight, we are going to be talking about who are you accountable to, God or man? I'd like to take this time to thank our administration for giving me the opportunity to speak this month and on this particular subject. As well, I'd like to thank them for allowing me to be a part of the speaking team because it makes me study more and I enjoy being a part of it. At this time, I would like to say thank you to all of our program participants. We know that without you, there would not be a program. Each and every one of you have done an outstanding job. Starting with our host, Sister Brenda Mason, our opening prayer, Sister Elizabeth Francis, our welcome team salute, Sister Mary Ishir, our scripture reading, Sister Lisa McIntyre, our beautiful song of praise, Sister Lottie Holcomb, and our introduction of speaker, Sister Rosalind T. Boddy, our administrative assistant. And now we're going to talk about who are you accountable to, God or man? Who are you accountable to, God or man? My subtopic is, who are you accountable to, God or man? But our delight should be in the law of the Lord. But our delight should be in the law of the Lord. starting with the very first scripture of the Bible written by Moses. Genesis 1 and 1 states, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And then in the book of John, starting with verse 1 through 4, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 2, "The same was in the beginning with God." Now, who was that Word that was with God? It was Jesus Christ. Are there any references stating otherwise in the Bible referencing friends or relatives in the beginning with God? There were none. Verse 3, "All things were made by him, and not them," because them didn't exist in the very beginning. "And without him was not anything made that was made." Verse number 4, In him, which is God, was life, and the life was the light of men." God was the light of men. Now, by the process of elimination, sisters, can we assert that the beginning, that being accountable to men, being more important than God, is hogwash? That's impossible, because they didn't even exist in the very beginning. God made life and light. They weren't there. So that thought is not validated by Scripture. How we thus far found the importance of men being relevant in the creation of mankind? They weren't. We could stop right here, sisters, and just call it a night. No worries, but I'm not going to. So should we trust anyone over our Creator? The answer is no. If you have your Bibles, let us observe the book of Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, verses 5 through 8. Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, verses 5 through 8. Now, verse 5 states, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from God." Verse 6, "For he shall be like the heap in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited." This shows just how far removed we will be from God when we choose to be accountable to the imperfect man rather than being accountable to the righteous and perfect God. Now, some of you who are raised in the South, y'all know very well what the word parched means. Sometimes we say, "Well, I feel a little parched." But we know what parched means. My lawn in the front yard and the backyard, it's parched right now. I watch my neighbors, cousins, and friends just outside just watering away. And I don't. I just look at them. Because I don't know what kind of grass I have, but as soon as the first rain comes, my yard almost looks like theirs. And if it rains the next day, my yard looks exactly like theirs, even though it was parched. Verse number 7. Pay close attention to verse number 7. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Verse 8. "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreads out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he come, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." When you're that person, your fruit is going to multiply even when there's a drought. When we trust in the Lord and our allegiance is to him, he will see us faithfully through all things. Our fruit will not wither, but grow even in tough times, good times, hard times, unhealthy times, war times, desperate times of disparity, even during times of bereavement. If you will, let us notice Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, one of our most favorite passages of Scripture and so relevant in our lives. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding." Verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Not someone else who we want to use as a God substitute. The one in whom we must look to for everything is the one who we must be spiritually and scripturally connected to, accountable to, and bonded with. I'm going to say that again. The one in whom we must look to for everything is the one who we must be spiritually and scripturally connected to, accountable to, and bonded with. If in all our ways we are acknowledging Him, and only He will direct our path, how can we be accountable to anyone else in referencing our Christian well-being and our soul salvation? Now understand me what I'm saying now. Yes, we have to be accountable to our employers referencing work which is not related to our soul salvation. Yes, we should be accountable to our mates, our families, our Christian families, as described in the Word. But our ultimate accountability should be in God, in Christ Jesus. Sisters, sometimes mates, family, church family may not be there, but God will always be there if we put Him first. God wants us to be accountable to the laws of the land as well in that respect. However, all must be accountable solely unto God in His instruction for our spiritual walk. You know, the Bible states more than once that God is a jealous God. If you will join me in noticing Deuteronomy 6 and 15, Deuteronomy 6 and 15, it states, "For the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God. Lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you," referencing me as well, "and he destroy you from off of the face of the earth." I'll say it again. "For the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God. Lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you from off of the face of the earth." That is an annihilation, sisters. We better take God seriously, for he is not playing concerning this matter or any matter. Who are you accountable to, God or man? Sisters, let's think about this that I'm about to share with you for a moment. I'm going to ask you some hypothetical questions, and just think about it in your minds and hearts. Who awakens us each and every day? Who does that? Who causes our hearts to beat in syncopation each and every second? Who provides for us the nutritional needs for our bodies? Who loaned us his temples to live in? Can man do that? Who allows the sun to rise and set? Is man that powerful or capable? Who allows the night to come? Who watches over us 24 hours of each and every day? Who calls our loved ones home when they have gone the very last mile of the way? Who answers our prayers? Who bore our griefs and carried our sorrows? Has any man on earth ever accomplished that other than Christ Jesus? Who has an ear to hear us 24 hours of each and every single day? Man, I think not. Who will we be accountable to when the heavens open up, the trumpet sounds, and God returns with the book of life open to reveal each and every deed done in our natural bodies that have not been confessed sincerely unto God? Where will man be then? I will tell you where he will be. He will be in the same position just like everyone else who is not caught up with Christ, to be judged also. Where are the available options now? Who will you be accountable to, God or man? Let us bookmark Acts chapter 17, verse 16, and hold it for a minute. Acts the 17th chapter, starting with verse 16. Paul, an apostle, journeyed to Athens, Greece, and there were many great philosophers and poets dwelling there and came from there, inclusive of Socrates. And many believed that there was some kind of God, but had various views of who God was and what his purpose was at the time. Many of the citizens there had given in to idolatry. Idolatry is worshiping images of various kinds other than worshiping the one and only true God. Now, let's just look at it. Acts 17, chapter beginning at verse 16, and it states, "Now, while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him." Verse 17, "Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews, and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Verse 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and said some, "What will this babbler say?" Others some, "He seemed to be a sinner, forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." Verse 19. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is?" Verse 20. "For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean." Verse 21. For all the Athenians and strangers were there, spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new. Verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, that was a very popular hill, and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." Now some Bibles will say you are too religious. Verse 23. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription." Verse 24. "To the unknown God. Therefore ye ignorantly worship him. I declare unto you," verse 24, "God that made the world," this is referencing back to the very beginning, "and all things therein, seeing that he, Lord of heaven and earth, dwell not in temples made with hands." Verse 25, "Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he gives them all life, breath, and all things." Verse 26, "And have made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." He've already determined when they're going to live and when they're going to die. Verse 27, "That they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him, and find him though he be not far from every one of us." God is never too far that we have to build idols instead. "For in him we live and move and have our very being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." Verse 29. "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and men's device." Verse 30. "At the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Sisters, allow me to share something with you. Not only is man instructed by God to not worship graven images, we are not to put anything before God, because that is equal to or parallel to graven images. Some people literally worship their homes, their cars, their jewelry, their clothes, themselves, their money, their fingernails, their hair, their clicks. Some never have any funds to put into the collection plate because they have chosen self over God. Anything can become our God if we allow it. Guess what? Even fear. Now back to my lesson. We must examine ourselves. Everything that we have, God gave it to us or allowed us to have it. And with that being said, he can also easily remove everything from us. Let us notice what God's saying during one of the times that the Israelites again wanted to worship idols. If you'll turn to Exodus, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 6. Exodus, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 6. "And God spake all these words, saying," verse 2, "I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Verse 3, "Thou shalt have no other God before me." Verse 4, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth." I'm going to pause for a moment and share something with you. I remember vividly when I was a little girl that I would go into some Christian's home and others' homes, and people would have these pictures. I know if you're over 50, I'm sure you've seen at least one picture or the other. One of these pictures that they would normally have in the dining room was a picture of a so-called picture of Jesus. And surrounding him were his disciples on the left-hand side and on the right-hand side. And these disciples, they were sitting there gathered together with Jesus in representative of the Last Supper. But that wasn't the main picture. The main picture was this statuette picture of this beautiful, attractive man that they call and consider to be Jesus. And Christians and non-Christians took that picture seriously. And that picture was sent that you couldn't, if you were a kid, you couldn't touch that picture because that was Jesus. But that wasn't Jesus. That was a picture of an image of somebody calling that to be Jesus. And then our black power people, they had another picture. They had a black Jesus with an afro. I don't know if some of y'all remember that. They had a black Jesus with an afro, and neither were pictures of Jesus. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, in reference to images. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Even in the Old Testament scripture, God clearly makes known that we are to put no one or nothing before him at all. We are accountable to him only in this regard. Now, what I'm about to say is very important. It's a footnote. It's extremely important to live a Christian life before mankind if we wish at all to be credible in all sincerity, leading others to Christ. Leading others is our ultimate choice from God, not man. You know, some men, including people in the church, say that only the apostles should lead others to Christ. Even some in the church have repeated that statement. Baptized believers are disciples of Christ. All the apostles are dead. We are supposed to lead others to Christ. Hear me when I say, some people will do anything and everything that some men or women tell them to do or to think, knowing well that it is in violation of the ordinances of God and are untruths. Yet they ignore God's word. The choices, sisters, are ours. God's instructions are available to each and every individual. They're not communistic. Our choices are individual, and we can freely and democratically choose exactly what we want to embrace, the truth or a lie. Ultimately, our soul's destinations are on our heads. Let me share my last scripture reference of what God loves. And the title is, Our Delight Should Be in the Law of the Lord. You know, everybody on this call who's been in worship for at least 5 years should know this verbatim, and some people say by heart. Psalms 1, verses 1 through 6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Verse 5, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Verse 6, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, sisters, because of all of these scriptures, all of our allegiance, all of our hope, all of our faith, and all of our trust should be placed in the hands of Christ Jesus, in God. You see, folk have no heaven or hell to put us in. Man says that abortion is our right as women. God says do not kill. He is the giver and the taker of life. Man says same-sex love and same-sex marriage is fine. God says that that lifestyle is not an option to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Man says any church will do. God says that there is only one. Who will you choose? What sounds good or comfortable? Or God's word, the foundation in saving our souls? Who are you accountable to, God or man? Need I say more? I believe that I've said enough, because, my sisters, our delight should be in the law of the Lord, and in it we should meditate day and night. Amen, and thank you for listening.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Cheryl, for that powerful lesson on tonight.
Thank you.
That was wonderful. Thank you so much. At this time, we have closing prayer by our Sister Felicia Feeney.
Good evening, sisters. Thank you, Sister Cheryl, for the inspiring lesson. Let us go to the Father. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for blessing us and allowing us to come together once again. Father, if I've sinned against thee, I ask you to forgive me for any sins I committed in word, thought, or deed, so that this prayer may not be hindered from reaching your holy divine ears. Father, I ask you to be upon the family of our dear sister, Della Fitzpatrick. Give them the strength that only you can provide for them as they go through the process of grieving her. Father, I ask you to also put your loving arms around the Lady Prayer Warrior family as we are also grieving our dearly departed sister. Father, I want to thank you for blessing Sister Cheryl, crowning her head, and bringing the things that she had to study back to her memory and giving us a very inspiring and thoughtful lesson on tonight. Father, I thank you for the Lady Prayer Warriors family, for the administration and administrative assistant. Bless us to continue to do the work so that we'll be able to spread the gospel throughout the land and country. Father, I ask you to bless the upcoming 24-hour prayer-a-thon so that we will be able to render a prayer for those who are seeking requests and that we stand in the gap of all those who request prayer. Father, I ask you to go into the hospitals and into the home of everyone and heal them and whatever the situation is that they're going through right now. As you know, the situations of everyone, Father, I ask you to continue to bless and guide us as we go through the remainder of this time and the remainder of the weekend. Guide us and protect us with your holy Son, Jesus, with many blessings, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Felicia Finley, for that beautiful prayer, closing prayer. At this time, we will have comments from our admins.